Today is the day of Pentecost. We find in the first chapter of the book of Acts that when the Lord ascended up into glory, he left a promise with his disciples that they should return back to Jerusalem and that they should abide there until this promise would be fulfilled, for they would be endued with power from on high. They would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And we find that these people who had received this promise, the 11 disciples, they went back and they gathered together in an upper room with certain women and others that likewise had received the grace of God in their hearts. They were then gathered together and united together in an upper room, according to the commentary, which was adjoined to the temple. Whether it was in the temple or whether it was in a house that stood aside to the temple is unknown. But here we find these group of people united together, praying with each other and calling upon God to fulfill the promise that he had given unto them. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All these people, they were united together by the Spirit of God, and they were given to pray unceasingly for the fulfillment of the promise that the Lord Jesus had given them. These people are a type of the church, the first Christian church that was established here upon earth. These people, they were bound together by the Spirit to pray and to cry unto God for the fulfillment of his word. All these people, they are not like the church in the times in which we live, my hearers. There was union, there was love, there was faith, there was hope, there was expectation in the hearts of these people, praying unitedly together. Oh, in these times in which we live, there is so much discord. There is so much dissension, and all there is so little accord. Now, if you, my hearers, have been given by the grace of God to do as the Israelites did of old, this word Pentecost, it signified unto these people the 50th day from when they had been led out of the land of Egypt. On that day, God had given them the law upon Mount Sinai. Pentecost means 50th. It signified likewise the Feast of Weeks. Upon this time, they came forth with the harvest that God had given unto them, and they presented it unto the Lord. It was likewise called the Feast of the Harvest. These people then gathered together. They are, as I said, a type of the Church of Christ. If you have been given by the grace of God to depart out of this world, which is in Egypt, and have been given to be delivered from the slavery and bondage of sin, as the Israelites were, naturally and providentially, then you likewise will be joined to a certain group of people, to whom you will likewise feel an accord. This life that God instills in the heart of a sinner, it will likewise go out in prayer and in supplications. And now when you come to the house of God and there is a servant that is sent by God and he leads in prayer, and you likewise have been taught to pray, and you likewise will unbosom your prayer with this servant. What he prays, you pray. All the desires, the longings, the outgoings of your soul to Christ will be uppermost in you. And as the servant has the same going on within him, there is such a unity, such sweet accord. You know anything about that, my hearers? Have you ever had something like that? Oh, this sweet accord. How seldom does it take place. Oh, my hearers, how seldom do we pray with each other. Must you not admit that? Do you not mostly listen just to the one that's leading in prayer? Or do you join with him? Are you in accord? Are you in union? Do you find such love and affection in your soul going out to the Lord with the person that leads, regardless of who he may be? All this was what was taking place in this upper room. Oh, there was such union with each other, such prayer and such supplications. And as these people were praying in this way, my hearers, that we find that suddenly there was a sound of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the place where they were gathered. This wind is compared to a hurricane, to a tornado, not just an ordinary wind. And this wind, it made an awful noise in the city. According to the commentary, it was accompanied with lightning and with thunder, and that everyone in the city was horrified and wondered what was taking place. And now this wind came just to this one place where these people were assembled together. It was so remarkable that it was only just in this house where these 120 people were grouped together. This wind, likewise, was from heaven. It was something that God had done. It wasn't just ordinary. A proof that it was from God. And God, likewise, came down with this wind into the hearts of these people that were gathered there. This wind came with such force and such power. When the Spirit of God comes, it likewise comes with force and with power. It overcomes all our enmity, all our rebellion, all our sins and iniquities, and it lays us low at the feet of Christ. This Spirit is compared to a wind. John speaks in the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. This wind is powerful, my hearers. Oh, how wonderful that this wind is still blowing, even though we see so little of the signs of it. This wind may have been blowing upon you. You, likewise, cannot say that at this and that time you were born again. But the evidences of this wind are to be seen in your life, in your conversation. This wind takes hold of a person, and it takes this person in the heart, and likewise, it brings a person down in guilt, in sin before God. And this wind carries this person likewise with prayer and with supplication to God. He finds the Spirit indicting the good matter within, and that he is enabled to confess his sins and to forsake them. What a blessing when this wind blows upon a congregation or upon an individual, and it works this divine change and miracle in the life of such a sinner. And likewise, we find that with this wind, there was an outpouring of flames of fire, and it appeared as tongues over the top of each of the apostles. These tongues were divided. This likewise typified the way that these apostles would be given to speak. They would be given to speak in various languages. They likewise would speak as with fiery tongues. What they spake would be like fire. When we put a fire in the grass, you know how quickly it spreads. So likewise, when they began to speak and teach the word of God, then it spread far and wide. It went throughout the whole world, and the sound thereof is still being heard even to this very day. This wind and this fire is a type and an emblem of the Spirit of the living God. These illiterate fishermen, these men that had been chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, were so gifted at this present time with the Spirit that they were given to speak in 15 different kinds of languages. As you know, any one of you young persons that went to school and had to take up a language in high school, you know how difficult it was for you to learn it, whether it was German or whether it was Spanish or what it may be. It took you almost a whole term of the course of high school before you could say probably a few words distinctly and clearly in that language. Here these apostles were given at the same moment to speak these languages clearly, distinctly, not haltingly and not faltingly, but they spake it as if they were born there. A wonderful gift that God gave them at this present time. They were enabled then to speak to the multitude of people that came to this particular place where they were gathered together. There were thousands of people in the city of Jerusalem at this present time observing this feast, and they were from all parts of the world. And now when they came to this particular place, they seen these illiterate fishermen, these Galileans, they knew them, and they heard them speak in their own languages. How wonderful was this gift unto these apostles that they were enabled to speak about the wonderful works of God to every person that was there. This, my hearers, likewise has a spiritual signification. These tongues that stood over the heads of these apostles, they typified that they would speak as with new tongues, and they would speak as God gave them to speak, and what they spake would be like fire. When God sends forth his good Spirit into the hearts of sinners and they are born again, then likewise the first thing that they are convicted of is the sin of their tongue. Oh, my hearers, we have such an unruly member in our mouth. And when God opens the book of our life, our past life, then what we have said and what we have spoken comes up before us. Oh, how ashamed we are of what we have spoken. Have you ever been ashamed of your past life? Have you ever been ashamed of the words that you used, the things that you said, and how you said them? Oh, the cursing, the profanity, the filthiness that I wouldn't say every one of you are guilty of, but all we do hear this round about us. Oh, and if you work in a place and you meet people, it's hardly impossible to listen to anyone without hearing them use the Lord's name in vain. So sad is the time in which we live, and what a wonder that we're not carried along with it. Oh, we're not any better, my hearers. Who we associate with, we soon receive what they do. And my hearers, when God comes with his Spirit, then we are given to see what we have done with our tongue. Oh, I remember this so distinctly, my hearers, in my own life. Oh, what I have said and what I have spoken about. When that came, my hearers, I didn't dare speak anymore. Maybe you were like that. You said you never would open your mouth anymore. Oh, you were silent. Before that, probably, you were the life of the party. You went to people's homes and you could hold a conversation with them all evening. You were very interesting to them. But when that came, you were done. You didn't dare talk anymore. You were afraid that you were going to sin. You were going to let a word drop which would smite your conscience so, and therefore you kept silent. And now we find you, whoever it was amongst my hearers, we find you in secret. We find you in a place where nobody hears you. And what do you do there? Oh, you begin to use your tongue like you never used it before. Oh, you begin to pray to God. You begin to confess your sins. You begin to unbosom your past life to him. You begin to cry to him for mercy. Oh, you never did that before. You became a sincere petitioner at the throne of grace to be saved. Have you ever done that, my hearers? Have you ever experienced something like that? Oh, did God give you a new tongue? Oh, did you begin to speak in an altogether different way as you have never spoken before? It may be, I'll give you a little incident in my own life. It may be that you made a vow. You said you were going to watch what you were going to speak about. You weren't going to say anything wrong. You were going to keep the door of your lips. And oh my, what happened? To my shame, and maybe to your shame, you have to say, suddenly I forgot myself. I let a word slip. And oh, what happened? Oh, you were conscience stricken. You were condemned inside. Oh, you went away so guilty. And now what happened? Why, you had to be taught, as James teaches us in his book, speaking about the tongue, that no man can tame that tongue, and you can't either. I can't either, my ears. No, it's a truth that God has given us in his word. It's an unruly member. It's put on fire by hell. You ever experience it? And all my hearers, when we do these things with our tongue, then we want to keep silent. We don't want to talk anymore. But when God gives us grace, then we will confess our faults and our sins. We will not hide what we have likewise experienced. It may be for the comfort and for the encouragement of some seeking soul amongst me who likewise have been so troubled with that. Oh, then you are given to see that there is one. And I've seen it so clearly, so sincerely, and so precious as he become. He never spoke a word out of the way. You need him now. He never done anything wrong. He never sinned. Oh, there was no guile upon his lips. And I've looked at that so, and I've wished that I had something of that. Oh, this precious Jesus. Oh, he went around speaking and doing good unto all creatures. And wouldn't you want to be like him? I sure would. And my hearers, this tongue that we have has brought us into so much trouble. Maybe it's brought you into trouble many times. Oh, what have we done? We've lied and we've spoken something about somebody else. We've got ourselves into so much trouble just with our tongue. We wish we never had said things that we had said. And sometimes we're too proud to go to the person and to admit it and to ask him to forgive us. Oh, this tongue, my hearers. And now these apostles, they were men just like you and I. But now God was going to use their tongues. He was going to use them to glorify his dear son Jesus. And they were given to speak as with new tongues. And oh, as I stand here before you, my hearers, I never thought that I would be given to use my tongue as I've been using it for so many years in the midst of you. What a wonderful difference it is. Oh, my hearers, may God give you all to speak with new tongues. And these apostles, they went forth speaking the word of God, and it was like fire. All these men, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The third person in the Trinity came down into their hearts and took possession of them. Oh, what a wonderful thing that was, my hearers. Their hearts, their minds, and all their faculties were taken in by the Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. Oh, and they were going to be used now in the Church of Christ to glorify this precious Savior. Oh, how wonderful this was. How unexpectedly this was. This is what struck me when I was reading it and thinking upon it. And they never expected it so soon and so sudden-like. And so it is with each and every one of us, my hearers. These people gathered together here, they were a praying, a supplicating people. They were pleading upon promises. And they were looking forward for the fulfillment of it. And let me give you a little lesson, my hearers. Oh, how necessary to gather where these people are. They were a type of the Church of Christ. And these people that are supplicating and praying, they also have access unto God. They likewise have promises upon which they are pleading. Have you something like that, my hearers? Or haven't you got anything? If you don't have anything, please come to the house of God where these people are, for that's where you should be. For they have connection with heaven. They are praying, and God may at different times let the wind down amongst them, and wonders take place. All forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, my hearers. Come under the means of grace that God has given, as feeble as it may be. And all if we unitedly may cry to him like this group of people did, we know not what the Spirit may do. It came suddenly, unexpectedly, and so suddenly and unexpectedly it may come in our midst someday, my hearers. It may strike you and you and you, and oh, what a wonder that would be. Don't you long for something like that, especially those that lead? Oh, we're looking for something like this, my hearers. For again, a general outpouring of the Spirit upon the multitude, that wonders may take place in the hearts of sinners. And these men, they were doing this and it came down so unexpectedly. It goes that way with the minister. It goes that way with myself many times, my hearers. Unexpectedly, you're led by the Spirit inside, and he indicts the matter in you, and you begin to speak. Oh, how wonderful this is. This is the way it went with these apostles. They didn't have any books. They didn't have any scripts. They didn't have to go home and study a lesson like I do. No. Unexpectedly, the Spirit came, and they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were just filled with the Spirit. They didn't have to do anything, but God spake through them. David says in one of the Psalms, the Lord spake through my mouth, and he was speaking through the mouths of these apostles. How wonderful these men were gifted upon this special occasion for the Church of Christ to be established upon this earth. And we find that all these people were gathered together, and they were all looking at this, what was taking place. And what did they begin to say? Why, they began to mock. They began to laugh. They began to call them fools. Some of them said, why, these men are filled with new wine. Now, these people weren't filled with that kind of wine of this earth. They were filled with the new wine. Yes, my hearers, I wish every one of us were filled with that kind of wine. Oh, that's the spiritual wine that flows from our dear and precious Savior. And that's what flowed into their hearts. They were not drunken as they thought. And they were not foolish men. No. This is what the multitude thought. And they spake accordingly. Ah, these men are filled with new wine. No, they were not. This teaches us likewise what wine does. When we are filled with it, it makes us drunken. It makes us look foolish in the sight of others. Have you ever seen a drunken person? Many times you probably have seen such. Today you don't see them too often because we all ride in cars. But when we were younger, you've seen many a person walking along the street staggering, couldn't walk, couldn't hold himself up. Sometimes they fell down. Sometimes maybe you went to their assistance and lifted them up. Poor creatures, they were overcome by the wine and by the strong drink that they had taken in. And this is what the multitude thought of these men, the way they were acting, the way they were speaking. They said they were filled with wine. All my hearers, let me exhort you, and not to be filled with that kind of wine, but to be filled with the Spirit, as the apostle says. Oh, the wise man Solomon, he says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whoever is overcome by it is a fool. And that is so true. Oh, in these days in which we live, my hearers, as so many people are addicted to drink. Our newspapers are filled with it almost every night about teenagers going over the borderline of New Jersey into New York to get some beer and to get drunk. And how often do we not read that these teenagers, they are behind the wheel of a car and they come back and they ram into somebody, they kill somebody, sometimes their own life is involved in it. All these creatures that are addicted to strong drink. Oh, my hearers, how many lives and how many marriages and how many homes are not broken a kind of strong drink. Oh, people that are addicted to these things, they forget everything. I hope and pray that not one of us may fall into this public sin, for we are no better than the next one. Believe me, my hearers. You needn't say, well, I'll keep myself. I'm strong enough to keep myself. No, you never know how far you may go because you have every evil under the sun in your own heart, and led into temptation you may give way. And now, my hearers, according to this, like what I'm talking about, you may find many a man, a good man, educated men, men that were brilliant, men that had college education, they have been given to fall into the sin of drinking. And where has it led them to? Take a walk down to New York, visit them hobos that we speak about, and see down in the Battery and in the Bowery. Talk to them men. They'll tell you they were men that were gifted and had talents and they had good positions, but they fell into this sin. Now you see them sitting there. That's all they're looking for is a bottle to drink out of. Oh, their lives are wrecked. I'm speaking to you, my hearers, that these people said that these men were filled with wine, filled with strong drink. This is what strong drink leads people to. It wrecks their lives and it leads them to hell below if they continue on in it. But these men, they were gifted by the Spirit of God and they were lifted up above themselves. They were filled with joy and peace and happiness inside, and they were filled with praises of their dear and blessed Savior. And we find Peter, who was the boldest amongst them, he stands up and he begins to speak. He begins to preach to the people and talk to them and say, now these people that you say are filled with new wine, that isn't so. It's only the ninth hour of the day. You know, amongst the Jews, it was a sin. It was a shame to be drunk. People that drank amongst the Jews, they drank at night when nobody saw them. And if they did get drunk, nobody seen them drunk either. And therefore, Peter says it's only the ninth hour of the day, meaning that they couldn't be drunk, being it was so early in the morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning. And now we find that these people likewise that were listening to Peter, they likewise were given ears to hear. For Peter, he begins to speak, and he begins to exalt his master, his Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to talk to them of what the miracles that he had done, the wonders that he had performed while he was amongst them. And many of them people probably had experienced some miracle, some wonder. Some of them probably had been healed, had been providentially wrought upon by him and been made whole and been made well.